I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great to the heavens. And thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. O God, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now, mine eye seeth thee. It's been 3 months since I've been in this pulpit. Due to the providence of God, the skill of the various doctors and nurses that have ministered to me over these past 3 months, along with your constant prayers and the support of my wife and children, I'm able to be here one more time. I can't tell you how good it feels. If you have a testament handy, I would like for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Genghis Khan was the great 13th century Mongol conqueror. He asked his philosophers to come up with a truth that would always be unchangeable. Thinking on it for a while, they came to the leader with this quote, "It too shall pass." This reminds me of a lady who was asked about her favorite passage of Scripture, and she said, "And it came to pass." Troubles are plentiful in our world. Every day we live, there will be problems for us to wrestle with and fears to overcome. What a comfort it is to know that they will not last forever. We should not let our troubles get us down. God, in His mercy, never gives us more than we are able to bear. And the problems that do come our way are made more bearable by our fellow Christians who willingly share the load, as Galatians 6 and verse 2 tells us, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And by the Lord who asked us to cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. The expression, "and it came to pass," is a particular favorite in Matthew's gospel. But it also impresses upon us a very subtle and profound truth. That the discomforting things of life are temporary, they do not last. They were not intended to last. They come to pass. This morning, I would like to just note some of those things which may be discomforting to us from time to time, but which shall come to pass, either in this life or the life to come. The first of these is fear. I think we are living in an age of fear. We fear the atomic bomb. We fear war such as that happening now in Russia and Ukraine. We wonder how far Putin is willing to go. Is he willing to have World War III to get his way? We have enough atomic bombs to destroy us over and over and over again. Who remembers 9/11? When terrorists attack this country, and they're not done. We fear cancer and other dreaded diseases. We're often fearful of our own safety and that of our own children. Did you read about the guy that walked into the grocery store in Buffalo and shot and killed 10 people and wounded some more? Think about that next time you go to the grocery store. Maybe you won't go. In some places in our country, people are afraid to venture outside for fear of being robbed or raped or mugged. All you have to do is just read the headlines and listen to the TV news to know that that's the case. Fear is devastating. It's debilitating. It robs us of strength. It comes suddenly, but it can leave us just as suddenly. One moment we can be paralyzed with fear, and the next we can realize that our painful uncertainty was unfounded. It's natural to be afraid. All of us have secret fears, but it doesn't need to last. So what is the cure? Let me suggest to you some things from Scripture. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul simply says, "For God hath not given us, His children, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Power because Christ is in us and with us. Love, because as John says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love is able to cast out or to remove fear. I'm reminded what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Faith also can dispel fear. To Jairus, whose daughter had died, Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Mark 5 and verse 36, and we know how that turned out. When the disciples were so scared during the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Here he was right with them. And he's with us. By trusting and relying upon Christ, our fears can soon pass away. In John chapter 14, when he had the disciples there in the upper room, near the end of that chapter, in verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Fear, Jesus said, can be replaced by peace. Secondly, and boy, here is one we can all identify with. Pain does not last. That's why I'm sitting instead of standing. I don't like it, but my back says otherwise. You know, the mind says, "Oh, Hawkins, you can do about anything," and my body says, "You got to be kidding me." Because sin entered into the human race, pain has become a part of our daily existence. Everyone has pain at some time, some to a lesser, some to a greater degree. But one thing we know for sure, pain will pass given enough time. Our problem has been to adjust and to cope with pain. Suffering and pain will do one of two things to us. It will lead us either closer to God or further away from God. Paul had experienced a great deal of pain. You know, I get embarrassed, personally embarrassed, every time I read this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 22. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more often. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with the rods. Once I was stoned," and that doesn't mean that kind of stoned either. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the brethren, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." And I'm thinking, my back hurts? You know, there's only one individual that I know that could have suffered like that, and that's Job. But we will suffer. We will suffer in this life. We will have pain in this life. When sin entered into the world, death came in, and all the diseases and everything that happened came in with it. A Pandora's box was open. It wasn't God's ideal will that it be that way. But man made the decision to ignore God's will. And we suffer the consequences. But we must learn how to deal with it. Not all pain is bad. You break your leg, you feel something. What if you couldn't feel pain? How would you know something was wrong with you? But Paul said, God told him one time, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it was sufficient for Paul. Why isn't it sufficient for us? Patience is a product of pain and suffering. James chapter 5 and verse 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Look how Job's life turned out despite what the poor man suffered. A lot better than it was at the first, wasn't it? It has been facetiously said that every great sermon has 3 points and a poem. It's time for the poem. The poem is entitled, Who Hath Not Suffered? Who hath not suffered does not know all that God would have him know. He has not learned the patient trust that those who suffer bravely must. He has not seen faith's star arise above the blackest midnight sky, nor clung to hope that lights the way across the grayest, bleakest day. He has not known how deep a peace may follow some sweet, sure release. Who has not suffered does not know all that God would have him know. Thirdly, sorrow and grief do not last. Oh, how hard they strike at first. When we have lost a loved one or suffered some severe disappointment, we think the hurt will never go away. But it does. And it will. Sooner or later, we put our lives back together again, and the hurt, while there, is bearable, of course. We cannot, nor would we want not, to forget the loved ones that we have lost. Mourning and weeping for a time are good, but they must pass. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 30 and verse 3. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, it may take a while, but it'll come. I'm learning that lesson. Sorrow and grief don't last. And finally, earthly trials do not last. All the things that the Apostle Paul suffered didn't last. He realized, as he told Timothy, that the time of his departure was at hand. I fought a good fight, he said. I finished the course and I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. That promise is for us too, you know. Look at James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4 for just a moment. My brethren, and this may sound strange to us, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Earthly trials are good to the extent that they strengthen us. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if indeed be ye are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It is God's design that whatever trials, whatever sorrow we face will not be with us forever. It'll come to pass. They will pass away. Whatever it is that we may think is going to last forever and ever is not going to last forever and ever. Everything in this world will pass away, including this world. But as Peter said, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. When John was bringing that letter that he wrote to the seven churches to a close, in Revelation chapter 21, he has these words for us too. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The things that we have experienced in this life, pain, suffering, sickness, death, will come to an end. And in that world to come, none of that's going to be there. We'll have a new body, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. A body fit for heaven itself. A body that is not subject to the ravages of time and disease and death. In heaven, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk. And it'll be the best existence that you could ever imagine, free from all these temporary things. I hope you're looking forward to that time. And if you're not, why not? Jesus came to this earth to deal with the man's greatest problem, the problem of sin and the fear of death. And when we become one of his followers, even though we may experience some of these things in life, we know that when this life is over and when Jesus returns and our bodies are resurrected, given a new form, that we will not experience these things anymore. All will be well. And life eternal is just that, eternal. I know that's hard for us to define. One little boy said, eternity is a stick of candy with one end. Well, that's pretty close. Only it doesn't have a beginning, I guess. But if you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, why not decide today that you're going to become one. What in this world is keeping you from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, having Him forgive your sins, give you the hope of eternal life, make this life the best life possible that you could live with the hope of eternal life in heaven? Or if you're here as a child of God and you've gotten lost, or as we studied in class this morning, you have neglected the so great a salvation. There's not going to be another chance after death, no matter who teaches that there may be. This is the veil of soul making, right here, right now. Make your choice wisely. The invitation hymn that I selected, by the way, I selected all those songs, by the way, just in case you wanted to know. One of my favorites. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. If we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel, why not come while we stand together and sing?
There is a fountain filled with blood.